Random House Audio presents Foundation's Edge by Isaac Asimov. Read for you by Scott Brick. Prologue. The First Galactic Empire was falling. It had been decaying and breaking down for centuries, and only one man fully realized that fact. He was Harry Seldon, the last great scientist of the First Empire, and it was he who perfected psychohistory, the science of human behavior reduced to mathematical equations. The individual human being is unpredictable, but the reactions of human mobs, Seldon found, could be treated statistically. The larger the mob, the greater the accuracy that could be achieved. And the size of the human masses that Seldon worked with was no less than the population of all the inhabited millions of worlds of the galaxy. Seldon's equations told him that, left to itself, the empire would fall and that 30,000 years of human misery and agony would elapse before a second empire would arise from the ruins. And yet, if one could adjust some of the conditions that existed, that interregnum could be decreased to a single millennium, just 1,000 years. It was to ensure this that Seldon set up two colonies of scientists that he called foundations. With deliberate intention, he set them up at opposite ends of the galaxy. The first foundation, which centered on physical science, was set up in the full daylight of publicity. The existence of the other, the second foundation, a world of psychohistorical and mentalic scientists, was drowned in silence. In the Foundation trilogy, the story of the first four centuries of the Interregnum is told. The first foundation, commonly known as simply the Foundation, since the existence of another was unknown to almost all, began as a small community lost in the emptiness of the outer periphery of the galaxy. Periodically, it faced a crisis in which the variables of human intercourse and of the social and economic currents of the time constricted about it. Its freedom to move lay along only one certain line, and when it moved in that direction, a new horizon of development opened before it. All had been planned by Harry Seldon, long dead now. The first foundation, with its superior science, took over the barbarized planets that surrounded it. It faced the anarchic warlords who broke away from the dying empire and beat them. It faced the remnant of the empire itself under its last strong emperor and its last strong general, and beat it. It seemed as though the Seldon plan was going through smoothly, and that nothing would prevent the Second Empire from being established on time, and with a minimum of intermediate devastation. But psychohistory is a statistical science. Always there is a small chance that something will go wrong. And something did. Something which Harry Seldon could not have foreseen. One man, called the Mule, appeared from nowhere. He had mental powers in a galaxy that lacked them. He could mold men's emotions and shape their minds so that his bitterest opponents were made into his devoted servants. Armies could not, would not fight him. The first foundation fell, and Seldon's plans seemed to lie in ruins. There was left the mysterious second foundation, which had been caught unprepared by the sudden appearance of the Mule, but which was now slowly working out a counterattack. Its great defense was the fact of its unknown location. The Mule sought it in order to make his conquest of the galaxy complete. The faithful of what was left of the first foundation sought it to obtain help. Neither found it. The Mule was stopped first by the action of a woman, Beta Durell, and that bought enough time for the second foundation to organize the proper action, and with that, to stop the Mule permanently. Slowly they prepared to reinstate the Seldon plan. But, in a way, the cover of the second foundation was gone. The first foundation knew of the second's existence, and the first did not want a future in which they were overseen by the mentalists. The first foundation was the superior in physical force, while the second foundation was hampered not only by that fact, but by being faced by a double task. It had not only to stop the first foundation, but had also to regain its anonymity. This, the second foundation, under its greatest first speaker, Preem Palver, managed to do. The first foundation was allowed to seem to win, to seem to defeat the second foundation, and it moved on to greater and greater strength in the galaxy, totally ignorant that the second foundation still existed. It is now 498 years after the first foundation had come into existence. It is at the peak of its strength, but one man does not accept appearances. Chapter 1. Councilman. 1.
"I don't believe it, of course," said Golan Treviz, standing on the wide steps of Selden Hall and looking out over the city as it sparkled in the sunlight. Terminus was a mild planet with a high water-land ratio. The introduction of weather control had made it all the more comfortable and considerably less interesting, Treviz often thought.
"I don't believe any of it," he repeated, and smiled. His white, even teeth gleamed out of his youthful face. His companion and fellow councilman, Munley Kompor, who had adopted a middle name in defiance of Terminus tradition, shook his head uneasily.
"What don't you believe?
That we saved the city?"
"Oh, I believe that. We did, didn't we? And Selden said that we would, and he said we would be right to do so, and that he knew all about it 500 years ago."
Kompor's voice dropped, and he said in a half-whisper,
"Look, I don't mind your talking like this to me, because I take it as just talk. But if you shout it out in crowds, others will hear, and frankly, I don't want to be standing near you when the lightning strikes. I'm not sure how precise the aim will be."
Treviz's smile did not waver. He said, "Is there harm in saying that the city is saved? And that we did it without a war?"
"There was no one to fight," said Kompor.
He had hair of a buttery yellow, eyes of a sky blue, and he always resisted the impulse to alter those unfashionable hues. "Have you never heard of civil war, Kompor?" said Treviz. He was tall, his hair was black, with a gentle wave to it, and he had a habit of walking with his thumbs hitched into the soft-fibered sash he always wore.
"A civil war, over the location of the capital?"
The question was enough to bring on a Selden crisis. It destroyed Hannes's political career. It put you and me into the council last election, and the issue hung.
He twisted one hand slowly back and forth, like a balance coming to rest on the level. He paused on the steps, ignoring the other members of the government and the media, as well as the fashionable society types who had finagled an invitation to witness Selden's return, or the return of his image, at any rate. All were walking down the stairs, talking, laughing, glorying in the correctness of everything, and basking in Selden's approval. Treviz stood still and let the crowd swirl past him. Kompor, having walked two steps ahead, paused. An invisible cord stretched between them. He said,
"Aren't you coming?"
"There's no hurry. They won't start the council meeting until Mayor Brano has reviewed the situation in her usual flat-footed, one-syllable-at-a-time way. I'm in no hurry to endure another ponderous speech.
Look at the city."
"I see it. I saw it yesterday, too."
"Yes, but did you see it 500 years ago when it was founded?"
498, Kompor corrected him automatically. 2 years from now, they'll have the hemi-millennial celebration, and Mayor Brano will still be in office at the time, barring events of, we hope, minor probability."
"We hope," said Treviz dryly. "But what was it like 500 years ago when it was founded?
One city.
One small city occupied by a group of men preparing an encyclopedia that was never finished."
"Of course it was finished."
"Are you referring to the Encyclopedia Galactica we have now? What we have isn't what they were working on. What we have is in a computer, and it's revised daily. Have you ever looked at the uncompleted original?"
"You mean in the Hardin Museum?"
"The Salver Hardin Museum of..."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?